The reading today is taken from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. If you'd like to follow, it's on page 1236 in the Pew Bibles. Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Right, well, thank you for inviting me again. I always love coming to Parsons Heath. Last time I wasn't very happy with what I shared, so I hope that today is going to be better. I don't know why, but I wasn't in a right frame of mind, I don't think, last time I came here. But it's lovely to share with you and to join in worship with you and to meet with believing Christians and just hear some lovely prayers this morning coming straight from the heart. That's been a real blessing to me. This morning, as I've been with you. Right, I'm going to come around eventually this morning to talking about this throne in heaven, but I want to start sort of obliquely and work my way there, okay? So I don't know an awful lot about the sea, although it's lovely to live next to the sea, and we have had some quite big experiences with the sea, like we used to love going to Portugal. We haven't been for a few years, but we love going to Portugal, and the sea there, the power of it was evident. On you get these huge waves and a huge movement backwards and forwards towards the beach and away from the beach and so on, and there were many times when you just was scared out of your wits just being in the water there in Portugal. Lovely, clear, bright water, though, which was a great joy to us. Since I've lived in Clacton, obviously I take a long look at the sea lots of the time, and I do know something about currents and about drifting. Once we had the joy of going to Southend-on-Sea for a wedding anniversary. Julian said to me, I think we'll just, let's go to Southend-on-Sea for our wedding anniversary. So we went there. It was real good fun. We looked at all the boy racers and their cars and did all the things that you do in Southend. And it's called Southend-on-Sea, so we went swimming. And soon discovered that it wasn't the sea at all. It was River Thames, and there was this a tremendous movement down the beach from the water. And to stay still, you literally had to cling on to one of the stanchions that was in the water, because if you let go, you were just swept down the beach. It's a bit like that in Clacton sometimes, and you get in where your placement of clothes are, and then you do a little bit of swimming, and you realise that you're way down the beach, and your clothes are way over there, and it's a real hard thing swimming back against the current. I often feel like that as a Christian, you know, that the society in which we live is totally and utterly secular, in the sense that God is an irrelevance to most people. And if you're wanting to sort of believe in the existence of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and all the things that we've been talking about this morning, you're actually going against the stream of what you're fed all day, every day, particularly in the media, but just by the general attitude of everyone. I did say that I didn't know very many non-Christians. I do speak to my neighbours, and none of them have got any concept or any desire or any need for God, because he's totally irrelevant. And so there's this constant struggling against the stream. And I don't know about you, but I feel that very often that kind of pulls me away from that real faith and trust and hope and expectancy in God, that when you're amongst Christians is a lot easier than when you're just sort of like in this secular world struggling to keep going. And maybe some of you feel like that as well. But the other thing that I know about the sea is that people do overcome the currents, because just along from us, and if I'm feeling really energetic, I walk from our end of Clacton up to what's called Gunfleet Sailing Club, and they go out in their little dinghies, and some people go out in bigger boats, and of course we see the lovely Thames barges coming out of where they come out of Maldon, is it Maldon, and come round majestic with their sort of rusty coloured sails, and the wind taking those sails actually enables the boats to go against the stream and go against the currents. Sometimes they almost look as though they're going against the wind, but of course what they're doing is catching the wind and steering their course with their sails catching the wind. And just as a Christian, I struggle with the knowledge that I'm pushing against the current of this world. There's this wonderful truth that if only I can unfurl my sails to the Holy Spirit, then I can go against the current and I can move forward. And, you know, that Galatians 2:20 that we were thinking about this morning, it's not me, but it's Christ in me that gives me the power. And that's something that, again, if I was talking about frustrations, I really long for that sense, not only as a person, but when I, you know, as a church in this country and as individual churches, I long for that sense where we're being pushed along by the power of the Holy Spirit, where we're so able to unfurl our sails that the Holy Spirit will cause us to actually make waves against the current of this secular society in which we live. I long to see churches being a real force for good in their neighbourhoods. I really long to see churches winning people for the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit is blowing in their sails. And I long for that for myself and for other individual Christians, that we'll be able to make a real impact in our day in which we live. So there's drifting and there's sailing. But one day, a few weeks ago, just before Hazel asked me if I was free to preach today, I was just talking to the Lord about this drift and about the wind in the sails. And I said, you know, Lord, how can I be an even stronger Christian in you? And the Lord reminded me and also gave me the joy of experiencing just something of seeing this throne in heaven again. And it reminded me of many times when the power of God was evident because the people of God were in that place of worship before the throne of God in heaven. And it seemed to me that's something that God really laid on my heart in this context, which is why I've given you the context, that actually what God longs for and wants is that we as Christians and as churches can come into his presence and be in that throne room of God. Now, there is a throne. There is a throne in heaven that is more real, more powerful, more tangible than all the things that we see in this world. And sometimes it's good just to remind ourselves, as we did in one of our songs this morning, that God is an ageless God. And all the ups and downs of human history, and all the things that have happened, and all the wars that have taken place, and all the arguments that have taken place in the parliaments around the world, and all the people that have come and gone, people who've seen fame and fortune and seen it all disappear, kingdoms and dominions and powers and empires that have grown and come and disappeared, that throne of God has always remained there, the same and unchangeable through it all. And we need to, I believe, get a fresh vision of just that throne of God, where God is in control, where God is on the throne, and where we can come and simply fall down in worship. I often have a lot of questions with God. I don't know about you. I have so many blessings in my life, but then there are always the one or two things that are really irritating, and the non-answered prayers, and you're saying, you know, well, what about this, Lord, you know? But when I get into the throne room of God, things don't necessarily change for the better, but they fall into perspective. And I stop questioning and I start worshipping. Stop questioning and I start worshipping. Lord, you are on the throne. Lord, you are in control. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I have no power of my own, but you are the sovereign Lord, and I come and I worship you. I can remember once being in a meeting. Well, I used to go quite a lot to, is it called Swanwick? There's a Christian conference centre in Swanwick, and a lot of the Baptist things happened there. And we used to live in Nottingham, which was very handy because it was only just down the road from Swanwick, not very far away. So I used to be able to go to these conferences. But I went to a prayer for revival conference there once, and we were caught up in worship. And the vision I had while that worship was taking place was sort of, I was gradually going above the world, and I could see the houses down below. And I was looking down on society, I was looking down on the place where I lived and the people that I lived around me. I was looking down at it, And the word that came to me was that word from the Bible where it is seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that was a wonderful place to be, just for those, I don't know how long it lasted, for that 20 minutes, half an hour or whatever it was, just to be actually looking down, as it were, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Don't always have the luxury of actually seeing that kind of thing as a vision, but I do wonder whether if we could only see that in our spiritual lives more and be in that place where we're looking down on things, whether things would be very different. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Lord. And it's good to address him as Lord and remind ourselves that he is Lord and see that heavenly throne there where the Father and the Lamb are seated on that heavenly throne and realise that they are in control. So that's that throne room of God. We had a wonderful time in one of my churches where we saw lots and lots of people becoming Christians, and the big issue for me as a minister was, what is a church service for? Is it an evangelistic service? And we used to have those once in a while, like parade services were always aimed at the parents of the Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade who came to them. We used to have special services, and of course the candlelit carol service was unequivocally evangelistic. That was to talk to non-Christians. We encouraged non-Christians to come, and hopefully we spoke in their language and tried to explain the wonder of the Christmas story. But by and large, our services were attended by Christians, although we did have non-Christians coming. And one of the things that we gave a lot of time over to was actually worship, because we felt that the Christian church, apart from being salt and light in the world, was a worshipping community. And lots of wonderful things happened during those worship times, where we gave time at the end of the service just over to worship. Two things came to my mind while I was writing this sermon, although I could give you a lot more, but you haven't got time this morning. One of them was Marianne. Now, Marianne was a lovely Christian. She'd had a really terrible thing happened to her in her childhood, but she was an absolutely lovely, radiant Christian. And in one of these worship times, I used to keep my eyes open as the minister, because all sorts of things happened and I needed to sort of like be in control. Sorry, I'm not a control freak, I just meant I needed to oversee it, let's put it that way. And I could see Marianne was what I call engaged with God. She was out of it. She was just locked in with God. And I watched her as her face smiled, she shone, and then she shuddered, and she was just totally enraptured with God. After the service, I had the privilege of talking with her, and she was from Switzerland, and all she said was, "Bucket of love, bucket of love." And in that worship time, God had just poured buckets of love over her and brought healing and renewal and refreshment into her life in the worship time. The other thing that's stood out to me that always inspires me was we had a visitor one morning, and I could see they were being touched during the worship, and then we got to our closing time, so I finished the whole thing off and went our last hymn, and everyone walked out, and this guy was just sat in his chair. And so I thought, as the minister, I'll have a chat with him a bit later on, but I'll just leave him. So I went and shook hands with people at the door, came back, he still sat in his chair. So I went and sat with them and said, "Oh, it's lovely to have you with us this morning. Would you like to go through for a cup of coffee?" He said, "I would, but I can't." I said, "What do you mean you can't?" He says, "I can't move out of my chair." I said, why can't you move out of your chair? He said, because I've just felt the presence of God so strongly here that I literally can't get up out of this chair. And I had the privilege of praying with him a little bit longer, and then I think he did get up and have a cup of coffee and whatever else. But that sticks with me because, you know, these are the things that I long for. This is what I so long for, that we get so in the presence of God, that the presence of God is tangible and things happen during our worship. For us as a church, we did see people become Christians through the worship sometimes. I remember just we sang a simple song, one of the Keith Green songs, and someone became a Christian just through the song. God brought her to faith in him through the one song. But most of the time, it was outside church services. It was actually meeting people and inviting them to our homes and inviting them to Bible studies and sharing faith with them outside the church services. But the services were given over to quite a bit of time just to simply come into that throne room of God. So those are, I've just shared my heart this morning. Those are the things that I long for. I long to see the wind of the Spirit catching our sails, driving us forward forcefully, powerfully for good. I long to see worship being restored, where we're in the very presence of God, and that's a central thing, and he can work in our lives in the most powerful way. And I long to see also, and long for the opportunities where we can get alongside people, maybe invite them to our homes, invite them to small groups, invite them to something, invite them to some special event, and share the good news of Jesus with them. Amen.